He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, says in this way, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Many guests have requested prayers of intercession for themselves and their loved ones. Parents are asking for strength to cope with the emotions caused by a miscarriage and to trust in God's plan for their family. A young family is asking that the father would recover from exhaustion and be able to return to work. They also pray that the entire family and their loved ones would remain in faith, and that the siblings who have strayed from faith would receive the grace of repentance. One guest prays that the troubling and heavy matters on their mind would become clear, and that they may always remain a believer. They also hope that God gives them strength to live according to His will, and that their mother may live and maintain her health despite an uncertain medical condition. A young believing girl asked for prayers of intercession for her believing friends, that after their family broke apart, they would have the strength to believe and receive hope in difficult times. Another guest prays for their children who have left the faith, that they may receive the grace of repentance, and for their son to recover from alcohol addiction. Also, they hope that their best friend would return to the kingdom of God and that their friendship would be restored. Furthermore, they ask that they themselves and their believing family members would remain in faith. A young person asks for trust in God's guidance in a burdensome relationship, even when they do not understand the purpose of everything. They also ask for clarity in life for their friend. They give thanks for their loved ones and that they have a good relationship. One guest asked that her brothers and children would receive the grace of repentance and that her ex-spouse would be freed from gambling and alcohol addictions. They pray for strength and for the ability to continue to resist the temptations of the world. They also hope that their recently aunt who had received the grace of repentance would remain a believer until the end. They are thankful for their faith and that God has protected them from many evils. They are grateful to be able to wake up for work in the morning and live a simple believing life. A guest prays for their brother's family and that their situation would become clearer during a difficult time and that God would guide them back to His kingdom. On behalf of a friend, that they would remain in faith and would receive believing companions. For their sons, that they would receive the grace of repentance. And on behalf of themselves, they ask for strength to submit to God's will and to find purpose in life. They are thankful that God has led them back to His kingdom and has given them important friends who want to walk alongside them. And for a fact, in the end, things are well. Another guest prays for relief in their financial situation of the family business. They are ready to walk the path in which God leads them to. They are thankful for God's care, for health, and the ability to work. The challenges have clarified the importance of faith and marriage. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers. Amen. I thought to read for this sermon from the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 10, and the words are as follows in Jesus' name, starting with verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Amen. This happening, which we just read, which was time of the public ministry of Jesus. And there was a lawyer that had a question for Jesus. This text which we read, it said, the lawyer stood up and tempted him. In the other translation, it said, that the lawyer as if tempted or teased Jesus by asking this question. This question, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Would a person have a better question to ask? A person who is searching, wanting a foundation for his life, joy and peace to his heart. And we would say that this is the correct and the best type of a question you could answer. Many of our dear ones, many friends that we would wish for them to ask. Those who, which the enemy of the soul has led them away to unbelief. Through our brother Yuka, we heard how God is righteous unto people. And Yuka even read from the miniature gospel. It summarizes the answer to this question. As if we have a dear friend who would ask, What must I do to inherit eternal life? It would have the miniature gospel would give him the answers to this. And he gave his only begotten son, not one who would believe upon him would perish, but would have everlasting life. That is the answer to the question. It came to my mind in the book of John. He has the same thought. That which is in the miniature gospel. John says in this way, There is a God's love that came in our midst, that he sent his only son into this world to give us life. That is love. Not in that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to redeem us from our sins. As we heard, Jesus here answers or takes this question in a little bit in a different aspect. He asks a question to this lawyer, that what is written in the law, how readest thou? And then this lawyer answered, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Here is this command of love, in which the lawyer answered to Jesus' question. The law of Moses, and even other in holy writings, it is shown here that he knew the holy writings, and he knew the answer, and he had given the answer. And Jesus answered, thou hast answered right. He gives a very personal instruction. This do, and thou shalt live. In a different portion, the two commands of love he puts into two parts when he is asked. In the Gospel of Matthew, it said, Jesus answered, love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the greatest of all commands and the most important one. Another important one is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Between these two commands is the law and the prophet. We have probably already, when we've been to confirmation, how the Ten Commandments of Law is in two parts. The first three commandments is of the first part. Love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and so on. And the first three commandments, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods. And the second command, and the third, commandment is keep the Sabbath day holy. And the other commandments it is the law and the prophet, to love thyself as thy neighbor, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witnesses against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his ox, or anything that is thy neighbor's. This is part of the second command of love. This covers the law and the prophet. As we heard in the sermon before that by our brother, the demanding law of God is impossible for us to fulfill. There are examples that a person is, we do not have the possibility to fulfill it perfectly. Jesus took two of these commands in during his Sermon on the Mountain. The twofold commandment of love is our relationship with God and how we have, without our own merits, have received this love. And the second part of this commandment of love, which is part of this Ten Commandments, the second part of these Ten Commandments, it is through our life of life, through our life of faith, we have this love towards our neighbor. Jesus had two commandments, the fifth and sixth commandment, which he had on the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that thou shalt not kill, that those who kill have the right to be judged, that those who hate their brother have the right to be judged. And then he had the sixth commandment. You have heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say unto you, if you look at another woman, you have already committed adultery in your heart. We break this demanding law of God in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Not one person is able to fulfill this demanding law of God. And that is what the Word of God enlightens unto us. This lawyer received this type of instruction, that thou answered right. Love thy God, Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And this lawyer said he was a self-righteous man. He wanted to do right things or do the correct things, and he thought that he would be able to fulfill the law of God. He wanted to prove that he fulfilled the law, that he is able to do it. But is there something that loving thy neighbor that he had to ask? That who is my neighbor? Jesus takes a concrete example as a parable. He wants to picture it to the lawyer, that what is the love of thy neighbor? And he speaks here is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus answered him, saying, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiments and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This Jericho is situated in the valley of the River of Jordan. It is below sea level. And Jerusalem, it is above sea level. He was traveling. He was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's deserted this way. And that's when thieves can surprise a person. as happened in this parable that Jesus related. The thieves did not feel pity towards the traveler. They surprised him, stripped off his raiments, wounded him, and departed, and leaving him half dead. He was helpless along the way. On the side of the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. That here, when they saw that this person was suffering along the way, and there came a priest, when he saw him, he passed by the other way. He noticed that there was this man who needed help, that he was in poor condition, but he walked right by. Likewise happened to a Levite, and when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed by on the other side. I read from somewhere that the priests of the Jerusalem temples, they lived in Jericho, and same thing with this Levite. Their family, they did different types of services for the temple. But both of these walked past him. And then he takes in this parable, but a Samaritan, he journeyed, came, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him. He did not walk away. He wanted to help this man who was helpless and needed help from others. He was thy neighbor. A certain brother, in his presentation, said he used this type of term. In the priest and the Levite, was it this that they saw? The one who was suffering, they had compassion toward the man, but for some reason, they decided to walk by and continue. But then this Samaritan, who did not walk past, as our text here relates, that he went to help the one who needed the help. He had compassion, empathy to the one who was suffering. He had the ability to understand what it felt to be in such a situation after a thieves have robbed you on the wayside between Jerusalem and Jericho. He was showing the fruits of his faith, of his own life. That the golden rule of love, do unto others as you do like them to do unto you. That he wanted to help who was so helpless along the wayside. He went to the man, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He did everything what he could possibly do on behalf of thy neighbor, that this man would be able to heal, that his future would be secure. And he brought him to an inn for a place of safety, and took care of him. And then the next morning, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. He had this type of a love. And as a friend, that he did not leave him alone, even at that point, at that moment, but promised to repay when he comes back. When Jesus related of this parable to the lawyer, he asked, "Which of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that shewed mercy on him." And then Jesus said unto him, "Go and do likewise." It came to my mind. Jesus had often, he did that, what he did was he often asked questions. He knew everything as the Son of God. He saw the heart of man. In the Gospel of Luke, it is even written, is related. You probably remember there was a sinful woman in the city who lived a sinful life. And the people living in the city knew her and even labeled her as a sinful woman because of her public sinful life. But Jesus really relates of a story about the Pharisees and into the home of Simon. And Jesus here relates of another story, a parable of how you should take care of thy neighbor. Went into the, he took this invite and went to the home of the Pharisees. And there was a sinful woman who had received the grace of repentance. She was able to put her past life behind, and she was able to believe her unbelief and all the fruit, which had been, her sinful life was seen in the city. She had received it all forgiven. She had such a great love toward the Savior, toward her own Savior, that she went into the house of the Pharisees without an invite. That when she went there, she went into the feet of Jesus and oiled the feet of Jesus with and dried his hair. Yet she did those out of love, which should have been done of the host. But the Pharisees did not humble to do that, who was just seen as a person who was in the midst of the public. The self-righteous Pharisees did not want to have him as a friend. The host did not do these services of love, which should have been done to the host. But this woman washed the feet of Jesus. That is when Jesus told Simon, he asked Simon, "I would have something to tell you." And Simon said, "Ask, Lord." And even then he had a parable. There were two debtors. I don't remember the amount, but there was large sums of money, or he was in much debt and one had a smaller debt. Jesus said in his parable that both of them had been forgiven their debts. And he asked Simon, "Which do you think? That who loved more, the one who forgave their sins?" And Simon said, "The one that received the larger debt forgiven." Jesus answered, "You answered correctly. This woman served me and said that she has received her great sins forgiven. And the one who has received much forgiven, she will serve much. And the one who has received so little forgiven does not serve in the same way." This parable, it does not relate. Did this concrete example open the heart of Simon? But Simon, along with this lawyer, Jesus wanted to relate through parables that before God, they did not have, their matters were not correct, that through their own works, they were unable to earn salvation, everlasting life. But they had the same call of love, to humble, to repent, to the steps of repentance. As a gift to receive this forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and blood. In this text, this parable which Jesus related of, here is also a picture how Jesus himself, as a Samaritan, does not travel alone. How the world and this own this flesh entices and makes us fall into sin. A man who has been created by God, that is, was stated here, there's a certain man who was went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It shows here how one falls into unbelief, to the sins of the way of the Jericho. How these robbers or thieves come and surprise and strip him of his raiments. Just as the prodigal son, he wanted to go live such a happy life. But there he noticed how sin made the conscience sore, and how he longed to be back in his father's house, where he could be fed into his soul, where the one who has fallen and lost, they always have the inviting call back to the father's house. I thought here that the enemy of the soul is here even in this time, enticing us into a easy life. I think of you, especially you, dear young, how the enemy of the soul might portray the world or the life of the world as something free, something without boundaries, and you can rejoice of life. And entices into this way with these temptations. I have sometimes used this type of a picture. I have sometimes even thought of it. That if you think of this experience, when I traveled abroad for work, late at night, we left a large city, and when the airplane left or took off, and we saw the lights of the city, how ideal and how beautiful it looked. And I thought that this large city, behind all these lights, a lot of people live a good and a safe life. But there are lots of people there, they live a life that is sin-torn. And then they are sin-sick. And they feel that what sin has brought into their lives, it looks beautiful. The enemy of their soul and persuades us with this sign of beauty. But then we have to remind that what does a sinful man, a person, is lacking when they fall and the wounds which they receive from it? I think of you, dear young. It is beautiful to endeavor in faith and to be protected in the kingdom of God and to plan your own life and to pray for God's blessing in your life and guidance. He has the best plan for each and every one of us. And as I thought of this, when I looked at the beautiful city, the lights of it, and what is the reality of the life on the streets of that city, and in the homes and in the houses. This Song of Zion, when it is beautifully said about the beauty of a child of God, the way of life of a child of God, the Spirit guides the way. I fear fear, and I feel, please, Father, guide my way of youth and give your hand to guide me. And here comes a picture. I hear the calling of the whispers. The world entices me. The lights guide me to the wrong way. Father, renew my spirit so that I could overcome my temptations, that I would be able to become protected from these, that I would receive from the gospel, through the power of the gospel, put away sin and travel on the way to heaven. And from heart comes to this. From my heart sings praise of thanks. Give peace that I could travel on this way. To you, Father, there at your destination, when my temptations are over, I give thanks to you. The Heavenly Father, we give that we would be protected from the sins of the way of the Jericho, that the thieves would not rob us. This parable also compares that he is the Good Samaritan. He takes care of the sinful wounds, and he's the one who sets him on his own beast, and the one who the thieves have robbed, and brings him into the inn, which is the kingdom of God, when they have received the grace repentance, and the wounds of the conscience have been able to heal. And these pennies, these two pence, which is the grace and the truth, but loving in the truth, but with grace, that we would remain on this way of life. Even now, dear brothers and sisters, you young and old, the Good Samaritan, Jesus, the Lord Savior, he has preached the forgiveness of sins and the kingdom of God, and he has left this duty for us. And this duty through grace, and help assisted through grace, and the ones who have received their sins forgiven. The children of God from time to time have been able to heal and to proclaim this joyous message of the forgiveness of sins. So even at this moment, dear brothers and sisters, you can securely remain believing, even on your own behalf. These greetings of heaven, you can, where you find yourself, believe your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious blood, you can even believe your doubts and burdens, as the book of Hebrew writes, to put away. Dear travel friends, you can remain securely believing. I even ask, can I believe my own sins forgiven? I desire to believe, dear travel friends, with you. In Jesus' name, amen.